Thank you, Tim. Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Okay, we've been going super cash with this series we've been doing. Everybody's sitting down to preach, so I'm joining. I'm there for it. I'm going to get my stool out here. All right. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Boy, that was a good worship set, and I especially love that last song. I picked it, so, you know, but thank you, Tim, for putting it in. But I think that song could have been the theme song for this whole series that we've been doing on the Shema. So if you've been here over the last 3 weeks, you know that that's the short series that we've been in. We've been talking about this instruction that was central to the Jewish faith, that was given to them by God through Moses and reiterated then by Jesus in the New Testament as the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And today, we're going to finish the series by talking about loving God with all of our strength. Now, the other day, I fell down an internet rabbit hole. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. You start out looking for the definition of a word or something, and you end up watching videos of cats getting scared by cucumbers. And, you know, I don't know how it happens, but it just does. So I was researching for today's sermon, and I was trying to come up with a good way to introduce this idea of strength. And so I Googled, who's the world's strongest man? Now, that was my first mistake. I learned more in that, let's be honest, like hour that I spent learning more about the various like strongman competitions. I don't know if you've ever heard of these or seen them on TV. They're amazing. So this guy who is the current title holder of the world's strongest man, his name is Tom Stoltman. He's from Scotland. He's like 12 feet tall. I don't know how, he's big. He's a big guy, as you might imagine. He can deadlift over 900 pounds, and he can just stand there and squat down and pick up a 630-pound boulder and lift it over a four-foot-high bar. It boggles the mind. I don't understand. These guys, there's no question that the men who compete in these competitions, these strongman competitions, they know what it means to put on muscle. They know how to lift something heavy without giving themselves a hernia. Am I right? These guys are amazing. And when you think about it, it's not, you know, totally crazy to think that maybe the strength that they're talking about in the Bible is physical strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Now, that being said, I'm pretty sure that Jesus was talking about something a little different when he reminded people that the greatest commandment was to love God with their strength. Now, I have to say that I struggled a little bit with this topic, not because I couldn't think of anything to say, but because there were so many different things banging around in my head, and I had a hard time focusing and narrowing it down to something that was applicable to share with you all today. And I learned that, as with the topics of heart and soul and mind that we've discussed over the last few weeks, loving God with all your strength means loving God with your everything. The Hebrew word for strength found in the Shema in the Old Testament is ma'od. I think we have it. Yeah, there it is, ma'od. Now, in the word ma'od was frequently used throughout the Old Testament as an adverb. Now, if you remember what an adverb is, it's a word that modifies another word. And so this adverb means very or much. So, for example, on the sixth day of creation, when God looked at all that he had created, he said it was ma'od good. It was very good. When Job's friends heard about what had happened to him, They came to visit him, and they sat silently with him for a whole week because they saw that his pain and suffering were ma'od great. It was very great suffering. So when Moses tells the people to love the Lord their God with all their ma'od, he is literally saying, love the Lord your God with all your very much. Another way to say that is to love the Lord with all your muchness. That's a fun word, right? Your muchness. I was telling the guys this morning that I thought that was just a made-up word that I saw on a video, and then I went and looked up the actual definition of ma'od in this big lexicon, and it actually said the word muchness in this really official definition, and I was like, that cannot be a word, but it is apparently the word that we use to translate ma'od. So if I'm to love God with all my muchness, that means that I must devote everything, my total capacity. That includes my personal power and influence, my wealth, my mind, my heart, my soul, my every moment, my every opportunity, and every ability. Now, when I stop to think about that, I start to get a little overwhelmed. That's a lot. It's no wonder that Paul talks about training like an athlete. Loving God with your muchness is not something that you just wake up one morning and decide to do. It takes conscious effort and training and will. When I think about people who are examples of ones who have loved God with all of their everything, I think about some of those heroes of the faith, people like Mother Teresa or Jim Elliot, Corrie Ten Boom, William Wilberforce, Hudson Taylor, that's just a few. If you don't know who some of those people are, Google it. You might find yourself in your own little internet rabbit hole, but it'll be a good one. These people loved Jesus so much that they gave him everything they had, including up to their lives sometimes. So here's the problem, and maybe you can relate. There are days when I don't feel very strong. There are days when I wake up, and I just don't feel like being a superhero that day. Because we all have limits, right? We all have, we're just people. We come to the end of what we can offer every now and then. Even those folks that I just listed off, they were just people who would one day or another come to the end of their strength. We all get to that point where we have nothing left in the tank. So what do we do then? We just give up? Go back to bed and say, hey, God, I'm all out today. Sorry, come back tomorrow. Maybe we can have some love then. I don't know if that's quite the solution either. But to answer this question, I'm going to ask another one. Where does our strength come from? Well, as I'm studying, and you know, if you've been in the faith for a little while, you might not be too surprised by what I came up with. But I came up with two sources of strength, a primary source and a secondary source. Now, the Bible teaches that the primary source of our strength is God. No surprise there. It seems clear to me, though, that that secondary source is other believers. And I want to start by talking about the strength that we get from other people. And I'd like to share some scripture examples that illustrate what I'm talking about. So in 1 Samuel chapter 23, Jonathan, the son of Saul, a close friend of David, he knew that David was hiding out from Saul in the wilderness. Saul had been chasing him all around, and he's hiding out. So Jonathan finds out where David is, and he went to David at Horesh in the wilderness, and he strengthened his hand in God. That's what the scripture says. He reassured David that Saul would not find him and that David would indeed be king over Israel, and his words of encouragement were a source of strength for David. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says this, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There are New Testament examples as well. In Acts 14, it says, after preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. There are lots of other examples in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, where the apostles and missionaries are traveling around, and they're going to the different churches, and they're encouraging them and strengthening them by their presence and their teaching. For example, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul explains to the people of the Thessalonian church that he sending Timothy to them. And the purpose of that visit is to strengthen them and encourage them in the faith, keep them from being shaken by the troubles that they're going through. We are meant to be in community with one another. Seems like one of the reasons is so that we can strengthen each other by encouraging each other in the face of difficult and disheartening circumstances. I'm sure if we went around the room, each of us could come up with examples of times when we were struggling to find the strength to keep going, and a brother or sister in Christ came alongside and put their arm around us and helped us. They strengthened us just by their presence. They might not have even had to say a word. Just being there was enough to help us stand up a little straighter and keep going. Sometimes just knowing that we're not alone in the struggle is enough to give us the strength to carry on, to keep loving God and following Him. We need each other. God knew that from the very beginning. He looked at Adam and He said, it's not good for this guy to be by himself. And He made Eve to be a partner. It was true then, and it's true for us now. And I know that sometimes when we're struggling, especially when we're struggling, the temptation is to just batten down the hatches, pull the shades, lock the doors, turn off your phone, and just suffer in silence. Don't let anybody, you know, we don't want to burden other people with our troubles. We think that we're just sparing them by not letting them in, not letting them know that we need help. And that is the exact wrong course of action. But it's what we're tempted to do so many times. But if we want to regain our strength, those are the moments where we need other people the most. They're the ones who can remind us that we're traveling in this life together. They're the ones who can keep pointing us back to that primary source of strength, which, as I already mentioned, is God. And you don't have to look very far in Scripture either to find a verse about God's strength. Both the Old and New Testaments are just chock full of examples of this. But here's just a small sample. There's the instruction to be strong and courageous that is repeated over and over, because the Lord your God is with you. 1 Samuel 36, when David and his men realize that their families have been captured by their enemies, and David's men start talking about stoning him because of it, that's a bad situation, it says, David found strength in the Lord his God. In the book of Ezra, the scribe and priest, is given this huge, monumental task. He's got to go back to Jerusalem after 70 years of captivity in Babylon and help rebuild and bring everybody back and get things started up again, reinstate worship in the temple. And he says in chapter 7 of Ezra 28, he says, so I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God that was upon me. Psalm 73:26 says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Isaiah 41:10, the Lord says to the people, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And there are New Testament examples as well. Ephesians 3, 16 through 17, Paul says to the church, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And 1 Peter 5:10, the apostle tells his audience, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. Now, as I said, these verses are just a small sample of the many examples throughout Scripture that assure us that our strength comes from God. So when we find that our strength is in short supply, it is God who can fill us up and enable us to carry on. We're to love the Lord our God with all our strength, and that strength comes directly from him and his presence in our lives. So let's recap. We're called to love God with all our strength. That means loving God with all that we have and all that we are, loving him with our muchness. We know that as human beings, our strength has limits, but Scripture teaches that even the strongest of humans is weaker than God at his weakest moment. Since our strength reaches its limits frequently throughout our lives, we need to be strengthened by something that comes from outside of ourselves. And God, in his generosity, has given us not one, but two sources of strength. First and most importantly, he has given us himself. He is our primary source. His supply is inexhaustible. His generosity and faithfulness are never ending. He is the rock of refuge to which we can always go. Where we often lack the strength to love and to follow him, we know that he is always there, ready to refresh and recharge us. And the second source of strength that God has given us is other believers. We are able, as Christ's ambassadors, to come alongside and to help one another bear our burdens through words of encouragement and simply through our presence in one another's lives. So my challenge to each of us, as we seek to love God with all of our muchness, is to keep our eyes open, to be aware of ourselves and the people around us. We must be humble enough that in our moments of weakness, we are willing to ask for help and open to receiving help when it is offered. We have to continually go back to the Lord, our primary source of strength. And as Paul said in Ephesians, to be empowered with inner strength through his Spirit. As we are strengthened by the Lord, we also need to be prepared to be used by the Lord to strengthen others. So not only do we receive strength in being in relationship with each other, but we give it. We can do this in many ways, as I said, through a touch, through a word, through a helping hand, a prayer, a loving presence walking alongside. But we can only offer that strength to one another if we ourselves are receiving it from God, keeping our eyes open, being aware of the needs of the people around us. This is not always easy. We know this. It requires being intentional. But just like an athlete training for a contest, the more you practice and work at it, the more proficient you become. Let us be a people who love God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and with all our strength. A people who love him with all that we have and all that we are, who love him with our muchness. And as we give that love to the Lord and receive it in return and so much more, let us also be used by him to love and strengthen one another. Think about that this week. Amen.